Take your Bibles now and turn to Luke chapter 24. I'm told I can speak a little fast. I will try to speak a bit slower if you'll attempt to listen quicker. And we'll see if we can meet in the middle and see what exactly happens this morning. I have two opportunities to speak to you this morning and then Thursday morning. I'm hoping they'll be helpful to you. You never quite know about stuff like that, but we hope to be helpful to you. And 100 years ago, I was in Bible college. And it was really, well, not quite 100 years ago. It just seems that way. And actually, the chapel services were encouraging most of the time. Not always. Sometimes I didn't stay awake, but other times they were helpful. And hopefully these will be for you. We'll see. Okay, now we're going to deal with two topics in these two sessions, okay? Today we're talking about emotions, okay? On Thursday we're talking about acceptance, okay? So emotions and acceptance. This morning we're talking about engaging your emotions. When I was in Bible college, again, back before, right after electricity was invented in 1974 and 1978, we went to the Tennessee Temple University, Highland Park Baptist Church. Dr. Lee Robertson was the leader of all of that. That's back in those days. And it was wonderful training for its time, but it was for the 70s. And this is not quite the 70s today. And one of the many wonderful things about my training, but one of the negative things about my training was they never dealt with the concept of emotion, like how your feelings. I was quite shocked when I heard a message Dr. Robertson preached after he retired about feeling depressed and discouraged. I never quite remember hearing that when I was in Bible. Now, he may have said it, I just didn't learn it. But I never did learn how to handle emotions. Now, fast forward, we graduated in 1978, and I pastored for 18 years the South Hills Baptist Church in the Raleigh area, North Carolina. And towards the end of the 18th year, a couple of things happened. Our youngest son, we almost lost to a ski accident. Lost his brain almost to a ski accident. That was quite traumatic. My father's health was deteriorating significantly, and the church was full of problems I could not resolve. Not one particular problem, just Jack and Jill over here, and Sam and John over here, and problems here. I couldn't get a handle on it. And it climaxed that year when we went on vacation. We went on vacation, and when I came back, I was no longer a pastor. That's one of the ways you know it's time to move, okay? When you go on vacation, and you come back, and they voted you out, then it's time to move. I pastored my current church, and we started back in 1999 for our 24th anniversary. And so they always ask me, preacher, how was your vacation? And I always say, when I come back, and I'm still employed, it's a very good vacation. And so you got to look on the upside. But what happened during that time period, I, for the first time, I experienced the wonderful world of anxiety attacks. I could not figure out how to handle my emotion. After two trips to the hospital, I did not need, or nor could I actually afford, but the test, I finally said, Doc, I need some stability here so I can figure out what's going on. And the doctor gave me something for a short time until I got some good Christian counseling and understood what the Bible teaches about emotion. Now, I always give this disclaimer, not to protect myself, but to protect the people that are listening to me, okay? If you're listening to me right now, and you're actually staying awake and listening, okay, then if you are on medication for emotions, you should never take a message I or anybody else preach as a license just to stop your medication, okay? That's a very foolish thing to do. It's a very dangerous thing to do. So if God leads you at some point, if you're on any medication, well, we're young people, we're healthy. Well, I know you are. You didn't even have any diet syrup this morning for fat people in the breakfast. Wonderful breakfast, by the way, but none of that stuff for fat people you didn't have. And but that's fine. I'm not complaining because I like the sugar. And obviously, okay? But anyhow, so if you are on medicine, okay, don't stop taking it. Now, we have had people who've heard this kind of truth and applied it to their lives and then felt like they could get off of it. They talked to the doctor and they worked off of it, but that's something you have to do. So that's, I won't charge you for that one. That is free. Now, in Luke 24, you have the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they are struggling with their emotions. They are struggling in verse 17, okay? Jesus comes to them because they don't realize who he is. Verse 17, what manner of communication are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad? The word sad there means to be strained. It means to struggle. These words are words associated with the definition, to have grim face, to be dejected, to be downcast, to be angry, to be sad faced. The idea is they were not in a good place. Now, we have to accept the fact that we have to struggle with our emotions. You cannot ignore your emotions. You can't go around them. You can't go under them. You can't go over them. You have to go through them. They are a gift from God. I will tell you, in the midst of my deepest discouragement and confusion during those times I referred to earlier in my early 40s, I can tell you, I remember laying on the couch and just struggling to get a hold of my thoughts and my feelings, and realizing that God had kindly brought me to the place where I had nothing else but Him. That's actually a good place to get to. But sometimes we struggle getting there because of all of our natural resources, natural abilities. And so I want to encourage you. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 44, that we're to love our enemies and to pray for them and seek to help them and to speak well of them. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 30, we see Peter struggling and sinking because he's fearful as he's walking on the water. We hear in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, Paul talking about living with the pressures of life, but not controlled by the pressures of life. But the challenge is it not, that many times we struggle loving people because we hate them, because they hurt us. Our natural response is to hate, at least mine is, you know. I'm Italian, so my family's background, you can get quite violent. And we can get quite, don't go there. Okay, but you know what I'm saying. Okay, but you have to be careful. You have to be careful because our feelings have to be dealt with. If we don't deal with them, they will control us and take us places we should not go and are not helpful. Now, if you're taking notes, I want to ask you, somewhere on the top of your paper, to do four squares, if you would. Four little squares. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, I'm not really good at math either, the gentleman leading the singing there. But but four squares across, okay? All right, we won't go there. Okay, so four squares, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? So on your upper left-hand side, you have a square. To the right of that, you have another square. From that second square to the first square, I want you to draw an arrow from that second box to the first box. Do an arrow, okay? And then I want you to do the same thing with the third box to the second box. So you have four boxes, okay? We're going backwards here, I guess. So four boxes. So the idea, so from the first box to the second, arrow. From the second box to the third box, arrow. Okay, you got that? All right. Now, all right, so once you do this, in the first box, I want you to write this phrase or abbreviate it, whatever, okay? Debilitating emotions. Debilitating emotions. Now, I want to define debilitating emotions, emotions that are taking you outside of God's will for your life. Okay? Now, there are emotions. When my mother died, I was very sad. When my father died, I was very sad. I've been very sad sometimes at the deacon's meetings. Somebody asked me, you want to go see a scary movie? No, I'll just have a deacon's meeting or a Baptist business meeting. If you survive those, nothing Hollywood could do could match it. Okay? So I ain't going to worry about it. Anyhow, let's move on. Okay, so debilitating emotions are emotions that take you places you should not be. Okay, either in your thinking, your feeling, or your actions. Okay, so debilitating emotions. Okay, now to the right, that second square that has the arrow going to the debilitating emotions, write this phrase, if you would please. Write the phrase, the word thinking. Thinking. Now, the reason why you and I have debilitating emotions is because of what we're thinking. We feel the way we feel because we think the way we think. Okay? Now, when the emotions are debilitating, I make that clarification, because sometimes you can be stopping your tracks by legitimate emotions. You can be like the psalmist and you're just consumed with your grief because the grief you have is really big. And you need time to work through that. That's certainly fine. That's acceptable. But debilitating grief takes me away from God's will. Behind that is thinking, okay? Now, to the third square, I want you to write the word, okay, the phrase untruth, or write the truth, non-reality. Either untruth, lies, or non-reality, whatever word you want to use or phrase you want to use, that lets you know that what you're thinking is based on that which is not true. Now remember, truth is that which corresponds with reality. So when I have debilitating emotions, it's because I am thinking certain thoughts that are based on lies or something that is not true about God. Okay? Either watch it, not true about God, myself, or my situation. If you go to the Old Testament, Elijah, with all of the after the big victory at the top of the mountain, you see that happening in that very next chapter for him. Now, I have the debilitating emotion, I have the thinking, I have the lie, okay? Now, to the far right, there's no arrow going from that one to the third one. There, I want you to write truth/Bible, truth/Bible. All right. Now, when people come to me for counseling at the Outer Banks, we have a counseling ministry called the Harbor Ministry. By the way, we also have the Baptist Home Mission Ministry, Church Planting Ministry. If that interests you, please see me, if you would. We'll say more about that maybe Thursday. But we have a counseling ministry. People come to me quite often in our area for counseling, and they are in a wreck. And they want me to give them a Bible verse and change them just like this. I tell them, listen, if you want to get over your depression just like in a few moments, then you can leave my office, go to the right, go to the 7-Eleven, get yourself 3 or 4 packs of beer, get drunk, and you will change how you feel quickly. I don't recommend that, but you can change your emotions quite quickly. Or you can go to your left, go to the hospital, walk in, tell them you're having a panic attack. You're not, but tell them you are, and they'll give you some medicine to calm you down, and you will feel better quite quickly. You can do things, or you can go shopping, or you can go online and look at things you shouldn't look at and make you feel different pretty quickly. But if you want to solve your problem, there's a process. I'm telling you, if you're struggling with your emotions and you're looking for just that final box of chocolate that will solve your problem, there is not one. I speak chocolate. I speak two languages, English and chocolate. And so I know that there's no amount of chocolate, even the right kind of chocolate, which, of course, is dark chocolate, which is designed to be drunk, consumed with the right kind of coffee, which is black coffee, not degraded coffee with stuff people put in it, but which is black coffee. But be that as it may, okay? They'll go there, okay? But be that as it may, all right? You have to understand you cannot solve the problem in a moment. Now, you have the four blocks across, okay? Watch this, if you would. If you go to the far right one where you have truth, and there's no error from that one to the untruth, you do a half moon arrow, okay? So you go from that square to the third square, the untruth, and then I put a light X over it like this. So you're Xing out the untruth, okay? Then from that, you go to the second to your left box, where it says thinking, and then from that, you put another half arrow that goes to your feelings. Because what happens, the way you change your feelings, in fact, is not by eating chocolate or even drinking coffee or by doing something or like just trying to medicate it through either medicine or activity or whatever or being diverted. It is by taking the truth of God's word and displacing the lies that we've been consuming, and the truth becomes the basis for my thinking, and then my feeling changes, okay? Now, that's how it works, okay? That's what Jesus did here, we'll see in a moment in this passage, okay? And that is a simple, it's not easy. It is not easy. When I was in the depth of my despair, I mean, I was on a scale of 1 to 10, I was a minus 435, okay, emotionally speaking. I was in a bad place. I was not suicidal. I was none of that, but I was just not in a good place. I describe a panic attack as having an emotional free fall where you simply can't stop yourself from falling. Of course, then people try to help you. They just say things like this, well, stop feeling that way. I said, well, why didn't I think about that? That's such an intelligent idea. Just stop feeling like that. Why didn't I think about that? Or I could just sing the song, read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. Just read my Bible. That's a wonderful thing. Why don't I just read my Bible? Why don't I lead somebody to Christ? Or why don't I just go out and pick a flower or sing Kumbaya, whatever. But the idea is this. You cannot medicate your depression. Theodore Roosevelt, his first wife and his mother both died the same night. Two different floors of the same house. His mother died because she was old, it was time. And his wife died because she gave birth to their only daughter. And he just goes deep into depression. And he leaves the daughter with his sister, goes out west, and he, you know, runs and shoots and, well, doesn't run, I guess, but rides horses, and shoots things and does all this kind of stuff, and writes back home to his sister, now, for the first time since she died, I can now be at peace. Now, he didn't find peace in the buffalo. He didn't find peace on this horse. He found peace because he exhausted. He medicated this peace by activity. And you have to be careful how you medicate, because however you medicate your emotion today, and you, most of you guys, except us old people, you, most people, you're young. So the way you start medicating your emotion when you're 20 or 25, you're going to medicate it your whole life, or until God brings you to your senses, which will probably happen between your 40 and 50, when you're married, you have kids, and have responsibilities, and that can become a real crisis for you, okay? So I want to encourage you to learn how to handle your emotions correctly. Now that I gave you that diagram, you said, that sounds so pretty, that sounds so nice and simple. Is it actually scriptural? Which is a very good question to ask. We do biblical counseling, which means if we give counsel, it has to be based upon God's word. Okay. Now let's look at the passage here, okay? And let's look how this all plays out, okay? I can give you 3 points if you take, I love outlines, I do. They're like goals, at least they're attempts to follow it, okay? Number one, you need to clarify your thoughts. I'll give you 3 things to write down. Number one, clarify your thoughts. Now look at verse 17. He says, what things? Look at verse 18. And the one of them whose name was Cleopas answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass these days? And he said unto him, now watch what Jesus does. He says, what things? Now, the way that Jesus is going to deal with their emotional problem is not by saying, stop feeling that way, come on, stop it, or by detracting them, oh, the sky is beautiful, it's Sunday, okay? Why not be happy? Not that way. He begins to help them with their emotion by clarifying their thinking. Now, in verses 19 to verse 24, there are 4 words I want you to write down, okay? Conflicted. These would be characteristics of their thinking. They were conflicted in verses 19 and 20. They're conflicted. In the first part of verse 21, they're disappointed. In the last half of verse 21, they're hopeless. And in verses 22 to 24, they're confused. We'll go over that again in a few moments, okay? So first of all, they're conflicted in 19 through 20. Look at 19. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. This is a man of God. Now look at the conflict here. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to have crucified him. Now they're conflicted because the man of God was killed by the leaders of God. That's a conflict. It's like a square, a round hole or whatever, a square peg. It just couldn't fit. It's clear in verse 19, they were conflicted. They thought he was a godly man. And they thought their leaders, their priests and rulers, they were supposed to be godly men. And so when we're conflicted, our emotions can go sideways. It's not supposed to be this way. For me, I've been faithful for 18 years of ministry. I'm not a very good preacher. I'm okay. I do the best I can. And it's not like we had a great church, but we had a good church. And God blessed it. Why would they do that? I don't know. It's not my thing. They decided to go a different direction. I was conflicted. When you're conflicted, it causes enormous problems. Second, they were disappointed. Look at verse 21. But we trusted that he'd been he which had redeemed Israel. Because when they think of redemption, they're not really thinking as much about being saved by the power divine and saving their life sublime. They're thinking about being redeemed from the occupying forces of Rome and the Davidic kingdom being set up. They're looking for the king. And they were thinking that he was, you know, that home Palm Sunday thing. We got the king is coming. He's here. And we're going to have a new regime here, a regime change. And so they were disappointed because what they were hoping was going to happen didn't happen. That's the first part of verse 21. The second part of verse 21 shows a sense of hopelessness. And besides all this, this is the third day since these things were done. Now, I got one source. I haven't been able to double source this. So if it's not true, then you Bible scholars can tell me later. I don't want to know. But anyhow, but I was told by, I'm just kidding. Okay, but I was told by Bible scholar, that there was a thinking during those days that the spirit left the body after 3 days, okay? Now, the idea is that it's hopeless, but I'm not sure that's true or not, but here it says after 3 days. So the idea here is that it's done and it's not going to be changed. It's settled. Okay? So there's a sense of hopelessness there. And then adding to the conflict and disappointment and the hopelessness is the confusion in verses 22 to 24. Yea, and certain of the women of our company were astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, when they found not his body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found even so the women had said, but him they saw not. So they're just not, there's a bit of confusion here, okay? They're just having these different accounts. I don't see a body, but he's gone. But where is he at? So they're confused. Now watch this, okay? Jesus took the time to identify the thought. So what happened, Karen and I learned this principle, and so she was helping me, okay, with it. So when I would start having my emotions go sideways, and this, I still practice it today if I have to, okay? If I see my emotions go sideways, if I'm helping someone else, I say, okay, she would say, now, okay, now what are you thinking? Why is this bothering you? Here's how this works, okay? So you're fearful. Well, why? What are you thinking? You're not fearful because you've got somebody gave you $100,000 in your checking account and you're healthy and you got all A's in your classes. That's not why you're afraid. You're afraid for some other reason, okay? You're angry for some other reason. You're in despair for some other reason. You are having these feelings of depression for some other reason. So what are you thinking? What are the thoughts that are producing the feelings? You say, well, that's a simple thing to ask and answer. It's a very simple thing to ask, but it is not a very simple thing to answer. And sometimes you have to go to Psalm 139 and 23 and 24 and say, search me, O God, and try me. And see, they wake up my heart and lead me in the path. I got to ask God to show me because sometimes I can't see myself. We all have blind spots, okay? We all have blind spots, and we need to see. We need help sometimes. And that's where biblical counseling or help or from a friend or somebody who loves Jesus, loves God's word, can maybe help you with that. But be that nonetheless, you have to clarify your thoughts. Number two, you have to identify the truth. Remember, truth is that which corresponds with reality. Truth is that which corresponds with reality. Now, beginning in verse 25, okay, he confronts them with the truth. But now watch this, oh fools and slow of heart, okay? Now, okay, be nice, okay? But he is being nice. He's bringing them to the attention. He's acknowledging, by the way, the fools, I believe it means, at least it means at some point, they don't know. They don't know. They've not assimilated the truth. And slow of heart means they've heard it before, obviously. He talked about it before he died. Their unwillingness to accept it. To believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Now, here's the thing. Verse 27 is critical. Look at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, it's important to note that what he's doing here is not simply saying, well, go home and read your Bible. Have your devotions this morning. Now, your devotion certainly can help you this morning, or listen to some good preaching. Good preaching certainly can help you something this morning. But what they needed to deal with their debilitating emotion was the specific truth that confronted their specific thinking. He's saying in verses 25 and 26, what you've been thinking in verses 19 through 23 is all wrong. It's not the truth. It's not reality. So I'm going to take you to the Word of God and show you what the truth is. So, for example, in our counseling ministry, we have couples come in and they're all, you know, we're not in love anymore. We've fallen out of love. I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. What do you mean you fell out of love? What do you think love is, a pothole? I mean, you don't just fall into love. You say, oh, well, I fall in love. You know how many falls in love? You choose to love. Love is a choice to value and to sacrifice. That's all it is. I know it doesn't really sell very many Valentine's cards. Oh, I love you so much. Oh, but because I chose to. What? Nothing about me? I'm not pretty, or I'm not this, I'm not that. Well, you may be all that, but if you live long enough, it's all going to change. You do know that, don't you? I mean, you're young now. You don't realize that. But if you keep looking in the mirror long enough, you will actually see your mother or father someday. And that will say, one day in my house, I said, Karen, come here, look. I said, what? You're in the bathroom. Look, it's Dad. He's looking at me. Where did he come from? Has he been dead for 10 years? No, I'm just, no, but anyhow. But isn't that true? I mean, now you're young and you're fit and you drink all that stuff and you eat, not alcohol, obviously, hopefully not, you know, all that sugary stuff, and that's all fine. But no matter how, you know, it's all going to change, okay? So here's the point, okay? You have to deal with what it actually is, okay? So that's why you have to take time to ask yourself, why am I feeling this way? Okay? For example, people come for counseling. Okay, they say, well, I fell out of love. So I tell the man, I say, well, you know, I have fallen in love with somebody else. No, well, you haven't fallen in love. You've chosen the value and sacrifice for somebody else and not the person you're supposed to. Now, just to be aware of the fact that when you got married, it was for better or for worse. This may be the worst part, but this is what you got, okay? And this is what you got to deal with. And it's supposed to be for better or for worse. If you think it's just for better, then you're really in dreamland, okay? Okay, it's not, okay? Once you're married for 15 or 16 minutes, you realize that it wasn't all this, what happened? This was so much easier when I could drop her off at the end of the date and leave her home and go home. You know, so it was so much easier to go buy Dunkin' Donuts, get whatever I wanted. But now I got to get what she wants. And when the ones wants their kids, what do they want? And what you want means nothing. If you're the dad or the husband, okay, really, I mean, not nothing. Well, actually nothing. Okay, but the point is, you have to be told. And I tell them, listen, here is the truth. You're thinking wrong about love, about God, about yourself, and you have to make a choice to align your thinking to God's word. And when you do that, it's not like, well, everything now is wonderful. Well, maybe, but maybe not, but still, it is what the life you have. And you have to accept it and move on. So identify the truth. Let me give you an A and B. First of all, the truth about your thinking and the truth that is rooted in God's word. So he identifies the truth of their thinking in verses 25 and 26, which is you're thinking wrong. So why are you depressed this morning? Why are you anxious? Why are you fearful? You say, well, it can be hard. When I was in Bible college, Karen and I went to Tennessee Temple University, and Karen and I started 1 year, and we got married between the first and second year. I don't recommend that, nor do I discourage that. You do what God tells you to do. For me, I would have never finished if I hadn't gotten married. I got so many demerits that first semester living on campus, I would have never survived the second semester. And it wasn't because I was unruly, it's because they wanted the room cleaned every day. I couldn't figure that out. They wanted the room clean, and they wanted the bed made, and they wanted this done and that done, and I couldn't figure it all out all the time. I tried, but anyhow, so we just got married. That solved that problem. Because then she leaned in. Okay, now let's move on. Okay, but the point is that when we were going through school, I remember one time, for the second or third time, the transmission went out. We had a Pinto. This is a Pinto was given to me a long time ago. It's a car that blew up on contact. It was a little Pinto, and I think my parents didn't know that when they gave it to me. I don't think, but that's what it was. And so the transmission went out, and right at the time of finals. Well, in our school, you had to pay your bill before you could take the final. I'm not sure how it is here, but you had to pay your school bill before you could take your finals. And so I got so mad at God. I remember sitting in the parking lot in Brainerd and Chattanooga area, and hitting the steering wheel and saying, God, I don't know what I've done wrong, but if you'll tell me, I'll fix it. This is not fair. You say, well, that's not a nice way to talk to God. Well, it's not a nice way to talk to God. That's how I was feeling. And God worked it all out in his timing. But, you got to deal with where you're at. And when you open your heart, the mind of your heart, to God, and you ask him to show you what's wrong with your thinking, he will show you if you will listen. But you have to be willing to listen. You have to be willing to entertain the fact that maybe I'm wrong. Shocker, okay? Maybe I'm not thinking right. Maybe there's something I'm not considering. So he had to confront the truth about their thinking, but they had then to go back to the truth that comes from God's word. Because only what God's word says is going to give me equilibrium and clarity with my emotions, right? That leads me to the third point, which is quite simple, which is aligning your thinking. So you clarify your thoughts, you identify the truth, and then you align your thinking. Now, what happens in the subsequent verses is they're walking down this path, about 7 or 8 miles, I believe it is, but they're walking down this path, and they stop, and there is a Denny's to your left. Okay, it doesn't say Denny's, but there's a Denny's over to the left, a place to eat, and they go in to eat, and Jesus acts like he's going to go on. And they said, come on in, let's get a patty melt or something. Come on in. And that's, again, I'm ad-libbing here. But they just come on in, and we're going to eat. So he comes on in, and he blesses the food. They don't know who he is. And then they say, Shazam, it's Jesus. I can't imagine that. They're like, oh, I know you. It's like that Clark Kent thing. You take glasses off. Oh, that's Superman. You put him back on. No idea who you are. Okay. I don't understand how it happened, okay? But anyhow, let's move on. Okay, but he didn't know who he was. So, okay, now it's Jesus. Wow, this is Jesus. That's wonderful, okay? And then he vanishes away. Now, for me, it'd be like Shazam followed by, what? Okay, where did he go? Wait, looking at the table, where did he go? What's happening here? But look at verse 32. None of that's what happened, okay? Okay? And as they vanished away, verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? What changed them? Was that the sudden revelation that he was Jesus? Not the vanishing act? It was the scriptures. It was the word of God. Look at verse 33. And they arose the same hour. This has been later on in the day and returned to Jerusalem. So if I have it right, if I don't, I'm fine with somebody correcting me on this, but I would think it would mean that it was later on in the day, which means very well they could be traveling back at nighttime, which would be a dangerous time to walk. So they're coming one way out of fear and discouragement, and they don't like the Popeye thing without the smoking thing, and they like take the spinach thing, and it's like, okay, they change completely, okay? And some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's fine. The old people understand. Okay, all right, let's move on. Okay, so, but they just changed completely, okay, at that moment. Don't Google it, okay? Don't worry about it, okay? All right, but they changed completely. But what changed them? What changed them was the scriptures. Now watch this. Give me three things. First of all, you have to align your thinking, number one, by inward attentiveness. By inward attentiveness. Inward attentiveness. Did not our hearts burn within us? Their hearts were attuned. You have to, in the midst of your debilitating emotion, you have to come to the point where you open your heart to God and the mind to God. Let it be an outward exposure to the truth. He talked with us. There's an outward exposure to the truth. That's one of the reasons why we need other people. If you're going through deep emotion, debilitating emotions, you are not designed to go it alone. God gives us other people in the body to help us. Most likely, if you go it alone, I had a deacon one time who was going through something, and he said, well, I don't need anybody, preacher. I can handle it myself. I have enough grace to handle it myself. And I said, well, you know, you're not really smart, but I got enough grace. And he winds up leaving his wife and kids, ruining his life, ruining their lives. Why? Because he was going through something and he wouldn't get the help he needed. Okay? So an outward attentiveness, second word, an inward exposure to the truth of God's word, and then an inward understanding and acceptance of God's word. An inward understanding and acceptance. It says they opened up. He opened up the scripture, which means to explain it to us so we could understand it. So you have an inward attentiveness. Their hearts burn, an outward exposure, an inward understanding and acceptance of the truth. And what happened then was God changed them. Okay? Their emotions were changed, and thus their actions were changed. Right? So when we clarify our thoughts and we identify the truth and we align our thinking, then God will change our emotions. So they're not debilitating. Now, they might not go away. Let's say, for example, in my situation, when I got a handle on my emotions, I was still unemployed. Okay, you can understand your emotions now, but now you're a pastor again. Oh, not so much. Okay, God brought us to it all changed. Okay, things didn't just all of a sudden fix itself. So I'm not giving off of you today some kind of false concept that somehow there's a way to just have all the challenges of life removed. You don't want that. That's not life, okay? Some people will say, well, I'm waiting for life to slow down. Well, that's called death, okay? Okay, so am I going to have trouble? The way you can tell if you're going to have trouble any day of the week is when you wake up in the morning, take your hand, put your hand on your chest, and suck in air. If you feel movement, it's going to be a hard day, okay? Now, if you don't feel any movement, you're done. You're good, okay? Because you won't have a hard day at all, okay? Everybody will do everything for you, okay? If you don't feel any movement. But if you feel movement, it's going to be difficult. And every day is going to be filled with emotional challenges, okay? You say, well, no, I'm just going to live up here on this plane. No, you're not. You can act that way to everybody else, But in your heart, you have to deal with the reality of your emotions. Now, I'm going to give you one more thought, and then we'll land the plane. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. I want to give you not a singular reference to solve all your problems, but a singular reference or passage to at least give you a guiding directional, give you some direction here, okay? And to help you with. The passage is Matthew chapter 6. We don't have time to read this, but I'm going to draw you to verses 24 to 34, okay? In verse 24, he tells you to you can only have one master, one or the other. So you can't have two. And in verse 33 and 34, he says, focus on the moment, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, we don't have time to dissect this, but this is your homework if you want more homework, please. Okay, but this is your homework. In verses 25 to 32, okay, what you will find as you read through that, and if you want to scan it while I'm talking, that's fine, okay? But what you'll find there is he talks about the love of God, the power of God, and the knowledge of God. The love of God, the power of God, and the knowledge of God, okay? Now, okay, if you want to write that down, the love of God, the power of God, and the knowledge of God, all right? Now, we're getting ready to land the plane, so, okay, if you write those down, then look this way, if you would, please, if you don't mind, okay? Okay, so unless you're studying for a test, okay, would you just look this way, okay, if you would, all right? Now, I want to encourage you, okay, all of you young people, okay, to understand that this is simple, but it is not easy. You're not designed to live a life void of significant highs and significant lows. That's life, okay? The key is learning how to handle it, how to address it, how to deal with it. Now, in a moment, we're going to sing All Your Anxieties and All Your Cares. Before we do that, I want to lead you to a brief prayer and ask you to, in a moment, and ask you to examine, are there any emotions you need to deal with? Give you some help with this. Is there anybody you do not love? Is there anybody that's hurt you so much you can't pray that God would bless them and speak well of them? Is there anybody that you cannot forgive because of how you feel? Is there any pressure that's so pressing you down, though you know the will of God is for you to stay in school, to finish school, and maybe come back to school if you don't graduate this year, you're thinking, it's hopeless for me. It is not hopeless. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work.